Kaya Biz.
It's exactly 6:45 and we are about to undertake a very pertinent and important conversation. So much so that we want you to dial in, share your thoughts, share your views, and of course, maybe even your opinions and experiences. You can dial us on 086-000-959. The important conversation we're going to have at the moment is focused around mandatory vaccinations within the workplace. And if you haven't heard, you might recall that last year there was a case of an employee who was hired and had a place of employment, had refused to actually get a vaccination against the COVID-19 virus and was then dismissed from her place of employment. She then went to the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, the CCMA, to get further clarity on whether or not she had any grounds to stand on in order to share some feedback or rather retain her position at the company. Well, we do understand that a groundbreaking statement has been made by the CCMA today. And to help us unpack what this really means for the ongoing conversations regarding mandatory vaccinations in the workplace and if employers might have grounds to actually dismiss employees who refuse to get vaccinated, these are all some of the questions that we're going to answer in a moment. So you too can dial into this conversation, 086-000-959. But for the moment, my guest joining me this evening is the joint CEO of Global Business Solutions, Jonathan Goldberg, to help us understand more about this conversation further. Jonathan, good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening to you and your listeners. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. This is a very important conversation, Jonathan, and I want to make sure that everybody understands what's unfolded in a very clear and concise manner. So I think before we even start with the outcome of this particular ruling from the CCMA, perhaps take us two steps back to fully understand the context of what occurred for this matter to even make its way to the CCMA.
Thank you very much. This is one of many cases that we're expecting to come out in the next couple of days and weeks. The cases of a petrol attendant, a oral hygienist, and a range of other cases where people have been dismissed. Let's go back to the basis, the Occupational Health and Safety Act, where employers have to ensure that their workplaces are safe. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 is a disease that's defined in the Hazard Biological Act as well, so you have to ensure that you don't transmit it to the workplace. That's where compulsory vaccination comes from in certain workplaces.
Gotcha.
Of course, that's backed up by the Occupational Health and Safety Direction, 11th of June, coming out, the Disaster Management Act, where it's got a process and a procedure laid out if you want to go down the route of compulsory vaccination. So I think it's important for listeners not to always jump to dismissals. Mm. In South African labor law, you can only dismiss for three reasons. Misconduct, where I'm misconduct myself, I do something wrong. Two, incapacity, and I'll talk about this in this case. And three, operational requirements. In this case, specifically, it's one case, specific set of facts, was based on incapacity, where the employee was given an opportunity to get vaccinated. They went through a process and eventually dismissed the employee, and the dismissal was then heard by the CCMA that found it was substantively fair. So I think that's the background. Not all workplaces require compulsory vaccination. Mm-hmm. Some do, because you have an obligation as an employer to protect all employees at the workplace, including from contracting the disease that, although in the Omicron variant, might not be as deadly as it was before, it is still deadly. It still kills people. It still puts people in hospital. And it still has long-term consequences to certain people's health. So we've got to start that regardless of whether you believe in vaccinations or not, mm-hmm. the employer has to go through a process to ensure that their workplace is safe. Unless they do that, I think they're breaching the Occupational Health and Safety Act.
Makes sense. And I'm glad that you emphasize that employers do have to act and make sure that they do provide a protective environment and a safe environment for employees. But of course, we also need to be cognizant under what kind of terms and conditions one can actually be dismissed. If I didn't understand you correctly there, Jonathan, did the CCMA rule in favor of the dismissed employee, essentially allowing her to be reinstated at work?
No. Oh. It ruled in favor of the employer, saying that it introduced a policy. They'd been through a process, a three-month period process, mm-hmm. that put up experts that people could actually speak to in regard to where their concerns were medically or otherwise. And then ultimately, they then, after incapacity hearing and after hearing it at the exemption committee, they then dismissed the employee.
Sure. This seems like it's precedent setting. Could we see this really, I guess, set the theme and the tone for how it is that employers will interact with employees regarding mandatory vaccinations going forward?
That's an excellent question, and that we need to answer for your listeners. I mean, it's not precedent setting at all. Mm-hmm. The CCMA cases are not binding. They're based on a specific set of circumstances. These cases still have to evolve all the way to ultimately the Constitutional Court. There's a declarator that PUS has taken around compulsory vaccinations in terms of direction. So there's still lots of legislation. If one looks at the international context, we've seen cases where the U.S. administration has won some cases, lost some cases. It really is circumstances specific. So let's just go back one step.
Sure.
You've got to have an operational requirement and need to protect employees only by compulsory vaccination. There must be no other way that you can prevent the spread of COVID-19 rather than a compulsory vaccination. Once you tick that block and done a particular risk assessment, then there's this process that evolves over 3 or 4 months. We saw discovery taking nearly 4 months to get to a situation where they'd now say, okay, you have to be vaccinated to come to our workplace, hypothetically incentive. And then the question is, if you still refuse, what alternatives are there for you in that particular workplace? So everyone rushes to dismissal. It's a long way from dismissal. Mm-hmm. And effectively, most dismissals, I think, will happen under the operational requirement banner. And that requires a full different process under the Labor Relations Act on its own.
I'm keen for us to actually understand that as well, how extensive that particular process then might be.
Well, it depends on the number of people that you are retrenching, but normally you can't really do retrenchment in less than 30 to 60 days. And you've then got both in incapacity, and I think these dismissals have either been under hidden incapacity. In this instance, they used the word permanent incapacity because you couldn't work, there weren't any options, or under operational requirements. You've got to say, well, can Johnny work from home?
Mm.
And one of the options could be that Johnny can partially work from home, then you offer Johnny the partial job. So these kind of investigations, I mean, for me, the best example is oral hygienist. I've got a dentist practice, and effectively, one of my oral hygienists refused to get vaccinated. Our patients say they refuse to come unless the staff are vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We implement a policy, we go down the process, we try, influence, coax the person to do it, we get medical opinions in, and ultimately come to the conclusion that you can't work in this practice because we're losing clients unless you're vaccinated, because you're working over me. My mouth is open, I'm exposed, and therefore I'm uncomfortable as the client. That would be a good example for your listeners.
That's a very good example, and I'm glad that you've made it that practical, because once we start internalizing, hold on, what does incapacity mean, and how am I able to execute my job and my services and be productive at my place of work, then it really has a significant bearing on the options or choices and discussions that can be had between an employer and an employee. And maybe that's where I'd like to go to, Jonathan, to actually fully understand if there might be different approaches that various sectors can take on board. So perhaps broadcasters or writers or educators who can actually work from home, could we see that there might be a different procedure of engagement for individuals who might be able to work from home?
100%. So I think if you can work from home and you're not given that option, I refuse to get a vaccination because of, in this particular instance, this case, it was on the ground of bodily integrity. But let's assume it's my religious ground, and effectively I don't want to get vaccinated. I've given you my reasons, and I can work from home. Then you should allow me to work from home. And I'm hoping the pandemic has taught us one thing. Many things can be done remotely, and many things can be done much more efficiently remotely. So I think you'd lose your case. Obviously, in the case of the oral hygienist, you can't really work from home because you've got to be over the person. I've been consulted by the hairdressing industry as well. Mm-hmm. So people washing your hair, as an example, unvaccinated with very little protection, just a mask, vulnerability. So you'd go through a process and try and get all those people in the salon. Of course, what would be driven off? Driven off where you're actually getting calls from your customers asking whether all your staff are vaccinated. If the citizens of South Africa are not worried and there's no real interest and basis of business, then you wouldn't have a basis to implement a compulsory vaccination policy. Or you have grounds where you can keep people apart, keep people with masks, sanitized, where there's very well ventilated, where there's little risk of transmission. then you don't need a compulsory vaccination policy.
If you've just joined our conversation, we are speaking to Jonathan Goldberg. He's the joint CEO of Global Business Solutions, helping us unpack a very important conversation given a decision that took place today by the CCMA regarding the ongoing debate surrounding COVID-19 vaccinations in the workplace. The particular cases that have been brought to the fore highlight that employers have a responsibility to ensure that they provide a safe working environment. In these particular cases that were highlighted, found that the employee's dismissal for refusing to get vaccinated was warranted, primarily on the basis of the fact that they argued incapacity, which is the inability to actually conduct their work and their role and their function. Jonathan, I'm intrigued. As you say, you've been in many consultative processes, and we're aware that for big businesses, including many of the top 40 listed companies who've already made such announcements regarding mandatory vaccinations, they've got the procedures, the policies, and the workforce and resources in place to actually go about this kind of a consultative process. What does this mean for SMMEs, though, and entrepreneurs, and as you mentioned, it's the hairdressers and perhaps other players in the economy who are on a much smaller scale, don't have as much resources? How best do they need to manage this effectively?
And I think that's where industry bodies come into play, that they put simple training, simple template, simple guidance, and maybe a simple appeal process that people are treated fairly in this process. Because, that's what you want to do. You want to give, if you have the operational requirement rationale to do it, you've got this reason, you want to give people every opportunity to get vaccinated, to get over their fears, and look at these alternatives like me and you discussed in respect of remote work. And I think if you do that, I don't think it needs to be so costly. I think it's a process that you just got to go through objectively and ensure that you've got some checks and balances. So I even think for small business, I think it's very doable. And I truly believe that even for small businesses, they're not exempt from the Occupational Health and Safety Act.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to consider it. And the primary reason to consider it is for your fellow employees, because you have a situation where 9 out of 10 people in the salon are vaccinated. The one person unvaccinated poses risks, so says the medical science, both to the 9 people that are vaccinated and potentially to the customers.
Mm.
So, I don't think it has to be a very hard-driven legal process that's very costly. I think industry bodies, I know Business Unity South Africa and many industry bodies have put out very simple templates for smaller businesses to follow.
Yeah, very important that you mention that. I'm keen to understand labor, if they are on board with this, and not only representatives of large industries, but how even we as labor and members of the economic society of South Africa need to take on responsibility in this to be mindful of the choices that we have, but also participating in consultative processes to make sure that we won't be incapacitated from doing our jobs.
Well, the labor part, the parties that are at NEDLAC have all supported the direction of the 11th of June, which puts out the process for compulsory vaccination, was a negotiated at NEDLAC document. All role players were involved, community, labor, government and employers. So again, that's a product of the great processes and facilitations at NEDLAC. So again, trade unions might disagree with the fact that they don't want employers to use this as a guise to dismiss people, and I agree with that. I mean, this shouldn't be used as a dismissal route because you don't like Johnny because he's not performing.
Mm-hmm.
That you should follow in a separate process. But if there's an operational requirement, everyone is in the interest of the 9 people that are vaccinated, that we have an obligation to protect in that workplace if there aren't other measures. Remember, that's the important thing. Not every workplace requires a compulsory vaccination policy.
Indeed. And I guess for us to understand where we are within the spaces that we work, we need to consult and engage and seek clarity, right?
Absolutely. And we see, the whole world's battling with this. Germany today battling in the legislature in respect of saying, well, do we introduce, like Austria, a citizen compulsory vaccination type policy? So it's not only South Africa and the CCMA, the courts eventually that are battling with, the whole world's battling with the issue around trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible to stop the spread of new variants.
Makes sense. That's Jonathan Goldberg, Joint CEO of Global Business Solutions. Yeah, very pertinent issue, but it does shift the lay of the landscape when it comes to employers providing a safety working environment under the Occupational Health and Safety Act within the workplace. Most importantly, if it does impact your job and your ability to execute your services, then you will most likely be requested by your employer to ensure that you do get vaccinated. The option of choice is still there. But we also need to be responsible in making sure that we minimize infection rates.
Higher Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the street, on the air.